Let us turn again to the chapter that we read together in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 28, and let us consider verse 19. Verse 19 in Matthew 28. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Especially these words, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Well, here we have the Savior giving a commission to his disciples after he had risen from the dead. They were his servants. They were to go out and speak in his name. That was to be their responsibility. And though the original disciples, if we add on the one that replaced Judas Iscariot, and if we add on Paul, then we can believe that they had particular gifts, gifts of healing, for instance, the power to perform miracles. But apart from that, this is the authority that is given to men in the Church of God right down till today. Those who are set apart as elders and preaching elders, they have authority to go out and proclaim the gospel. And notice that. They have an authority to go out and preach the gospel. Others may take their place when no minister is available. But, you see, how Paul speaks to the Corinthians, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you. We plead with you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God. Now you see, that's the duty of every minister. To plead with his hearers. Be reconciled to God. Do not stay in that state of spiritual darkness, being far away from God. Do not stay in that position. Do not stay in a state of alienation from God, but receive the message of reconciliation. You have it in the Bible. Be reading your Bible. And come, as you are doing today, to hear the gospel proclaimed, as well as to see and hear what is said in connection with baptism, which is the subject of our text. Now, notice this, and we'll probably come back to it. The beginning of the verse, they were sent out to preach, were the disciples. But that's it put generally. But there's a specific aspect to it here, and that is, go and teach all nations. Go and teach them. And it's when they have been taught that they can be baptized. Now, there's an exception to that, of course. And that is little children, babies. They can be baptized as the children of those who profess to believe the truths of God's word. They cannot receive instruction at that stage, and yet they are to be brought into the visible church. That is what we can see. There's the invisible church whose boundaries we cannot discern. But we can discern the boundaries of the visible church. And that is because we can see, or if we cannot see, if we're at a distance perhaps, then it is possible to find out who is making a profession of believing the Bible. We cannot discern. We can have a very good idea in many cases, but we cannot absolutely discern who have been savingly changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot absolutely discern who have made a profession, not only made a profession, but who are actually believing in the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of their souls. But God knows. And we should be seeking, who have made a profession of faith in Christ, we should be seeking to discern who they are, who we are. That's what the matter that really belongs to us. In most cases, it's not our responsibility to know if so-and-so is actually a true believer. But we have that responsibility for ourselves. We are counseled to examine ourselves, whether we are in the faith. We're to prove ourselves. We're to go on proving ourselves. It's not something we do once and then we leave it at that. It's something we are to be examining ourselves about time after time, so that we would not go into eternity deceiving ourselves. That's it. That's the danger. It's one thing for people to be all together in the world and not caring about their souls. It's the case with so many. But you see, there's this matter, that there are people who are deceiving themselves about their souls. What need then to examine ourselves, that we might not go blindly on towards a lost eternity, but to be in earnest, to seek the Lord while he may be found. There comes a point in every sinner's life when they can no longer seek the Lord. And that happens at least when people are passing into eternity. And therefore, how necessary that we would seek the Lord now. That we would seek the Lord before it is too late. But you see, there's this matter of baptism. And we can look at it for a moment from the point of view of baptism being the admission of someone into the visible church, whether as an adult or as a child. The Lord has provided this sacrament. And I mentioned about children, little children being brought into the visible church. Now, that is questioned and more than questioned by many. But that was what was going on in the Old Testament church by God's command. The children were supposed to be circumcised on the eighth day, very young. That was the way God commanded it, that they should be baptized on the eighth day of their life. They were brought into the visible church as young as that. So, when we move from the Old Testament age to the New Testament age, and this is all I'm going to say about that, you cannot reasonably believe that in moving to an era of greater privileges, that the Lord would withdraw this privilege from little children, that they would be brought into the visible church and have all the privileges of being in the visible church. I know you can go and hear the gospel, or you could go and hear the gospel. Yes, little ones growing up can still go and hear the gospel, although they would not have been baptized. But, you see, it should be a somewhat automatic matter. I know it isn't. But it should be an automatic matter that children growing up in a professedly Christian family should feel their obligation to live as Christians, and in particular to go to hear the gospel, if that's possible for them. Yes. And we should be thinking of our privileges. Supposing you think you are not converted. Supposing it's absolutely obvious to you that you are not converted, but you were baptized. You are to feel the obligations that follow you now, given that you were baptized at whatever stage in your life that took place. There are obligations that follow you. And God sees if you are remembering these obligations, if you are in particular, because that is something that is fundamental to true religion. You should be seeking the Lord. Seeking the Lord while you may be found. We're not to be complacent if we feel that we are outside the visible church. If we are still going on in sin, we're not to be complacent about that. We are to seek the Lord. And where will we seek? Well, three places I mentioned a number of times. One, reading the Bible. Two, coming to hear the preached word. And along with that, I may put this, to be prayed for. That the minister would pray for you. And all those who can pray should be putting that amen to that petition. He will pray generally, he will not single out particular people, though there may be particular people in his mind, and he may be praying for someone in hospital, and there's only one person from the congregation in hospital. But you see, there's a great blessing to be prayed for in public worship, because it's not just one person who will be praying. It's all the others who know how to pray. And that's a great matter. It's a great privilege. And it's a privilege we should value. There's other things in public worship, of course. I'm just picking out a couple of things just now. The great privilege of being paid for, not by name. That might be inappropriate. You wouldn't want to be singled out, or nobody would want to be singled out when the preacher was praying for those or a particular who had committed a particular crime, say. Perhaps, and that maybe included in a prayer for the unconverted. But you see, what I'm saying just now, it's not the minister's prayer just. It's the prayer of everyone who should be putting their amen to that petition. It may be just in the quiet of their soul saying, grant it, Lord. And then something else, grant it, Lord. You see, coming to church involves the privilege of being prayed for. But you see, what I was saying was, a baptism is a receiving of children, children in this case, a receiving of the child or children into the visible church. And they have these privileges, and the privilege, we trust, of being taught by their parents. Yes. And parents have tremendous responsibilities. And one of the responsibilities is that they would be teaching their children about the true religion. Teaching their children from the Bible. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, many do. That's a general statement. But we should live in the hope of that. We should be bringing that before the Lord in prayer. Bringing it before the Lord in prayer. That our children and our children's children who are being taught, who are under the preaching of the word, that these things would be blessed to them. That they would get grace in their souls. That they would seek the Lord and find. Yes. And without dwelling on this point of being brought into the visible church by baptism, let me just quote little more than an expression from 1 Corinthians 12. By one Spirit we are baptized into one body. The body, the one body of the Church of God. Now we speak about denominations, and there are denominations. It's a necessity in this, at this stage in the Church of Christ says to me that there are some who, for the sake of the truth, are separate. And no doubt there are degrees of holding to the truth, and that's what we must hold on to as a branch of the church. And you see that expression I've used? It's common. The branch of the church, the whole church of God. But there are branches of it. And we belong to one branch. And we should be asking us that the Lord would bless us. And that the Lord would keep us. Keep us as individuals and keep us as a branch of the church. But there's this thought too. And especially they could think along these lines. When there was manifestly and obviously one church, the Church of Christ, the Christian church. And when Paul was writing, one body, there's quite a lot of emphasis in that epistle about the church being one body. It has different limbs, it has different parts, but it's one body. And if they brought into the one invisible church, if they brought into the body, the one body that represents those or includes those and only those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and wherever they are, whatever may be said about them, it is one body. And this is the one sacrament of baptism, which is bringing people into the invisible church, the church of believers. Wherever they are, that's one body. But you see, baptism has a symbol. Just as in the Lord's Supper, when, I'm tempted to say sadly, we have it far more often than we have baptisms. Partly, of course, it's because baptism is just to be, we're only to be baptized once in our lifetime. But the Lord's Supper is to be commemorated or observed many times. Often is the word used in Scripture. Often. Not once, but often. I suppose there'll be the occasional person who goes to the Lord's table once and passes away before he or she can go a second time. But that's, by the way, that's what may happen in God's providence. But you have the two elements, the two symbols in the Lord's Supper, the bread and the wine. The bread representing the body of Christ, his broken body and his sufferings, and is poured out, and the wine represented his shed blood when he died or after he died. But you see, here it's one symbol, water. And one very common use of water is for cleansing. And that's what the water is representing here. Cleansing. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, the water there is not the water of baptism, but it's speaking a more general truth, and that is that we need to be cleansed spiritually. We need to have our souls made clean. And it's water and the Spirit. And that's pointing us to this, that the Holy Spirit must do the cleanse. The water in baptism, and we can apply it in that way, the water in baptism is representing a spiritual cleanse. What we need, and it's a privilege to be baptized, but what we need is that our souls will be cleansed through the work of the Holy Spirit. And you have the expression in Titus, the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Two descriptions of the one thing. This washing, this spiritual washing, represents regeneration, the new birth, being born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And it's the matter is so important that the Savior more or less repeated it in the words I quoted earlier, except a man be born of water. It's a second birth. It's a new birth. It's through it that someone is made a new creature in Christ Jesus, born again. We're told to seek the Lord. I've quoted that. And we are to seek to be born again, that the Lord would come to us and make us new creatures in Christ Jesus, a new relationship to Christ, a new view of Christ, a making use of Christ, if we can say that without being irreverent. And very often in these things, what matters is how we understand these things and how we say these things. But let us be reverent. Let us be altogether reverent and asking God's grace so that we would be reverent before God, spiritually reverent, inwardly reverent. Yes. But what I'm saying just now is this. The need to be cleansed, the need to have a spiritual wash, the need to have a new birth, the need to be born again. That's it. Yes. We're to be going to the Lord that we might obtain mercy. These various mercies. That we would obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We're to go to the Lord to obtain mercy. And this washing, it's a sign of what little children need. The view generally in this generation of ours is that newborn children are free from any sin. And it's very much saying they don't need to be baptized. Sometimes they need to be baptized when they're a bit old. But little children are just innocent. Well, no. We wouldn't be baptizing little children if that was so. Not just that they need a washing in their souls when they are old, but they need a washing in their souls while they are young. Remember the 8 days, that we don't carry that on to the New Testament age, but remember the 8 days for circumcision. This little child needs to be cleansed. How much need for parents and others to be praying for children. little children and older children. But you see, we all fell in Adam. And that's how children come into the world. That was David's confession. As we had it in Psalm 51, I was born in sin. I was shapen in iniquity. That's how I was conceived. As a child of Adam, David says. Well, he didn't say it, but that's his implication. I need to be born again. So he says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Lord, apply to me, to interpret David. Lord, apply to me all the means that thou hast appointed to show me my need and to show me the provision that thou hast made in the one that is to come as the seed of the woman. Yes. We need to be born again. And the Lord has provided a sacrament, an illustration of our need to be born again. And then there's this aspect of it. If there's a need, is there something to supply our need? And that's been suggested to us in baptism. Somebody set apart to the work of the ministry is to apply the water. It's a symbol of something. Just as the sacrifices under the Old Testament were symbols of something. They were symbols. Yes. Well, look, when the water is poured on the child's head, that's saying to you, there's a way to be cleansed. God has made a provision so that that sinner can be born again. The Holy Spirit transforming that soul so that it becomes a holy soul. Yes. A holy soul washed. Washed through the application of the Holy Spirit. And notice the idea in the New Testament in connection with the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is poured out. And with the verse that comes to me just now, it's an Old Testament verse, but it's with a view to the New Testament age. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. Yes. It's a sprinkling or a pouring. Both ideas that in the Bible. And so, the more scriptural way of using water in baptism is pouring or sprinkling. In the Lord's Supper, you don't take much wine. You don't take much bread. In baptism, we don't need a great deal of water. Might be very little water. But it's water. It's the symbol. It's what is there to illustrate our spiritual need. That's the thing. We need to be reminded that our children and those other youngsters that we may take a particular interest in, the main thing for them is this. That child, that adult needs the work of the Holy Spirit in cleansing the soul and making that sinner pure and whole. That's the thing. In making that sinner pure and holy. And we should have a desire for that. And parents particularly should have a desire for that. That their children would be made whole. Yes. How earnest we should be for the conversion of those close to us. That they would be born again. That they would be cleansed. That they would be cleansed. How much we need that. How much others need it. Yes. And you see, to go a little further in connection with the provision that is pointed to. You see, we all need cleansing. Little children need cleansing. They need to be born again. They need to be transformed in their souls. But notice how Paul puts it in Ephesians 5 when he speaks about Christ. Christ Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. The washing of water. I've spoken about that already. But the washing of water by the word, which is saying this, that when that cleansing takes place, that baptism points to, it's in connection with the word of God. There may be exceptional circumstances. John the Baptist was set apart, and Jeremiah was set apart from the womb, and I think we can say that they were converted at that stage. That's exceptional, thoroughly exceptional. But in ordinary cases, when a sinner is born again, when a sinner is transformed inwardly, it's in connection with the word of God. And that is why there are verses, other verses too, that speak of being born again by the word of God. And the idea is that in connection with the work of the Holy Spirit, there is the word of God. When the sinner is made a new creature, when a sinner is born again, when a sinner is cleansed, that is the point at which the sinner believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. The sinner has the word of God to receive. The word of God, speaking about Christ, is the one who came into the world to save sinners. And if the Lord cleanses the heart, the Holy Spirit, then at the same time, he creates faith in that person's heart. You see, I suppose we could say that that baptism is, in a sense, incomplete until that is that work of the Holy Spirit in the soul. Until the symbol is followed by the saving work of the Holy Spirit, which baptism represents. Yes. You see, when the Lord lays hold of a sinner, and that's a tremendous mercy, the Holy Spirit comes and applies the truth to the sinner, and at the same time washes that soul, puts new life into that soul. The sinner believes because the sinner has been born again. And the sinner believes on the basis of the word. Now, I'm not saying that people will only be born again when they are hearing the word of God preached. They may have the word in their minds, and we should have. And we should be thinking about the word. And somebody could be converted when they were walking along the street. But not apart from the word of God. But they may be thinking on the word of God, on the word of God. And at the same time, new life is put into their souls. New life is put into their souls. Now, there's many a word, many a statement of the word of God that the Lord is able to apply to sinners. And I'll just quote one statement just now, and that is from Galatians 4, and that is about Christ. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, what I'm at just now is that we should learn such truths as that. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's any number of such truths, and we should be going over them in our minds. If you feel you're still outside the kingdom of God, that you have never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, read your Bible, come to church, pray. But think of the word of God. If you're walking along the street, and there may be many a distraction there, but go over one of these truths. The Lord might bless it to you there and then. The Lord might bring light into your soul so that you get an understanding, even a saving understanding, of what is there in the word of God. The Lord may give you that spiritual understanding, and through the Holy Spirit applying the truth to your soul, you may believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice where we've come. The baptism has a symbol, water. It's used for washing. It has this use as a symbol to indicate our need of washing. And it should suggest to us also, seeing it's God who gave baptism, and Christ who particularly gave it to his church, that there is a remedy. There's a remedy. And we should look for the remedy. We should be seeking the remedy. And the remedy is to be found in the word of God. And particularly, we need to have applied to our souls those statements of the work of Christ, why he came into the world, what he is able to do. We're to think of him now with the right hand of power before the throne of God. And we should be asking for that blessing. And here's another statement that the Lord is able to bless. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray it. Have mercy on us, Lord. Turn us from our old ways to serve thee. Be thou our God and guide forever. O deliver us from all evil, and grant to bless the sacrament of baptism to those who are to be baptized. But bless it to us all, and help us to remember what we have been considering, that we would be asking thee to bless it to our souls. Have mercy, Lord. May we each one be spiritually cleansed, and may we have thy blessing. Keep us and care for us. Wash away our sin. Build up thy cause. Do wonderful things. Bring each one of us into thy kingdom. For Jesus' sake, amen.